This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
I mean, think about how liberating it is if you're Sam Darnold. I mean, if I'm not the starter, okay, all right. Check still clear. It's a bummer because I lost the job, but... And then, there is no better job than being a backup quarterback in the NFL. You could be a backup quarterback for 15 years in the NFL.
Chase Daniel.
Oh, my gosh.
Will have earned $41 million in his career after this season.
We have a friend, Mike Glennon.
Yeah.
I love Mike. Mike had opportunities to be a starter early in his career. Always seemed like they were bringing somebody in over him. But, you know, he went out to Chicago and... Then they drafted Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
Had that work. Karma, Chicago. Karma. And now Mitch Trubisky is your quarterback.
Yep.
Oh, man, did you guys fall up?
We did.
All right. Let's get right to it. My friend, Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast moderators. We go to the college game. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. It was great to spend some time with you. Great to sit down at Radio Row and socialize just a little bit. Mm-hmm. But here we are back in the beautiful gifts of technology, which connect us, even though we're about a mile and a half apart.
Here's the thing about the trip to Operation Football is that we hung out a little bit on Wednesday night, and all it did was make me want more. Mm. That's it. That's the way I feel about you, Chip. I want to spend more time with you. We're not going to date. We're both married men. All right, let me get to something that happened at ACC football kickoff. Everybody voted. Nobody should be surprised that Miami was picked to win the Coastal. I don't think anybody is surprised that Clemson was picked to win the Atlantic. Maybe the margin over NC State surprised some, but I'm not surprised by it because I understand it. So before I get your thoughts on that, I'll tell you what did surprise me. Florida State and Georgia Tech getting votes for first place in their respective divisions. That I cannot justify. I can sort of justify BC getting a first place vote. I can't justify Georgia Tech or Florida State. Did any of that surprise you?
It was a complicated voting process. I don't know how, you know, the sportssystem.com, right. You know, your website, that, because, right. And to zoom this out nationally, Vanderbilt got a vote for SEC champion. And, you know, we had that discussion among the workroom. Like, is this something we point our finger and laugh at? What we decided is that it was very possible that somewhere within the drag and the drop, a mistake was made.
Right.
And we've got a wide range of you know, technology capable media.
Okay.
I get the opportunity to submit their ballot. And so I am willing to entertain single votes that look like outliers may truly have been drag and drop mistakes. But the two votes for Florida State are interesting. Because I don't think that two mistakes were made, which means that there is a lot of belief in Jordan Travis.
Okay.
There's a lot of belief that they're going to be able to replace the ACC Defensive Player of the Year, Jermaine Johnson, with just another transfer in Jared Verse. I don't think that that's going to be the case. You got one of them from Georgia. You got the other from Albany. I don't know. I think the defensive lineman from Georgia is going to be a little bit more ready to dominate at the ACC level than the one from Albany, though I do think Jared Verse is going to be very good. So, like, Georgia Tech seems egregious because I think that Georgia Tech is going to win 2 to 3 games this season. The Florida State, I think, is probably more of a 7-win team. Very difficult schedule. But first place in the Atlantic division, when there are, like, very quickly 3 teams that I think are going to finish higher than them in the standings, mm-hmm. in Clemson, NC State, and Wake Forest, I think that the second one there is the one I've got to at least point my finger at.
I mean, why? Honestly, maybe it's the dog on the remote theory. As to that, that's how certain shows get ratings. The dog, you know, accidentally changed the remote. Chip Patterson.
The drag and the drop, yeah. You shift them up, you shift them down. You know, it's very possible that mistakes were made. The team that you meant to have last place accidentally slid up to the top as you were doing some shuffling.
So they ask you to review your ballot before you hit submit, but a lot of people didn't review. It's sort of like, you know, read all of this before you click I agree. And none of us ever. We just scroll to the bottom and click, I agree. All right. No issues at all at the top. Did you vote for Clemson and Miami. Who did you vote for on either side?
Truth be told, I had a very busy weekend. I let the ballot expire.
It's fine. Good for you. I
normally do. There's nothing that is like fundamentally, philosophically, right. I stand against it. I just, you know, the rest of the family was in Sparta, North Carolina. I had to run up to Sparta. I had to get all of them. We had to get down the mountain. We've had some things going on with friends and family all through the weekend. My heart and my mind were divided.
And I
apologize to Kevin and the rest of the ACC staff. It looks as though you had plenty of representation.
Oh, no. 164 people voted.
Yeah, I would pick Clemson 1 in the Atlantic. I would pick Miami 1 in the Coastal, and I would do Clemson over Miami. Absolutely no issue. Looking at the actual breakup within the Coastal division, I thought that was a lot of, you know, even 18 first-place votes for North Carolina compared to the 38 for Pitt seemed like a lot. Like, if you want to make the Pitt argument, it is the idea that Panthers, Pat Narduzzi, Bully Ball will be back. And guess what? Pat Narduzzi, Bully Ball got Pitt to the ACC championship game before.
Yeah.
They've got all their offensive linemen back. Defensive line will be great. Linebackers are good. He's talking trash about the offensive coordinator who only delivered a Heisman Trophy finalist quarterback
right. And
a Biletnikoff award-winning wide receiver. So I think it's just going to be right back to the old school for the Panthers, but they're good enough along the lines of scrimmage. Yeah. And I think that's going to have them locked up in that second place. Who knows if Miami craters, Pitt might be able to repeat as Coastal Division champs. And in the Atlantic Division, I understand that if you don't want to buy Dabo Swinney's support of DJ Uiagalelei, but I tend to think that football players that are built like that can have hiccups, but I don't see this totally cratering. And so
I don't either.
I think DJU, he is not going to throw for 400 yards every single time like he did in two starts as a freshman, but he is going to be better than last place in the ACC in passer efficiency.
I agree with you. And I also, he said he played at, 260 some odd last year, and he's down to 235 or 238, so he's obviously in better shape. It's always good to be in the best shape of your life. Everybody says that. But
he looks slim, too.
I mean,
the eye test checks that out. I mean,
no question.
He said he was really big at the end of the cheese. He measured himself after the Cheez-It Bowl, which, you know, hilarious to say. I was big after the Cheez-It Bowl, needed to lose some weight. And after eating a bowl of Cheez-Its, I need to lose some weight as well. So relatability from DJ Uiagalelei. But footwork was the one thing that I'd always heard, and that it was balance. And it was, you know, when he escaped the pocket, he wasn't able to get his balance. And look, I'm so sick of all these young quarterbacks trying to think they're Patrick Mahomes with these off-platform throws. But there is something to somebody of DJU's caliber and size where if he can get his balance and keep his balance when he's breaking the pocket, then he's going to be able to be more accurate with his throws downfield. And that could be something that's huge for bringing Clemson's passing attack back.
I agree. Look, to me, I voted for State based on the fact that I think they have a more known commodity offensively, and it was an opportunity, to be perfectly honest. It was an opportunity. Clemson's not, I mean, they didn't win it last year, but to me it's an opportunity for NC State, so we'll take a shot in the dark. I think the season will be determined. I think the conference, the division will be determined the fifth week of the season when State is at Clemson. I think the Wolfpack are going down there 4-0, and we'll take a shot at beating Clemson 2 years in a row. And I picked Miami on the other side. I actually picked Miami to beat NC State in the final. Let me ask you about Kevin Warren, the commissioner of the Big Ten, who aggressive, almost brazen with his public pursuit. Well, yeah, we could expand. And it's not just Notre Dame. There are other schools out there that add value. I would argue that there aren't, to the point where the Big Ten should consider expanding unless he wants to lower the payout per school. What do you think about what Kevin Warren had to say yesterday?
There's two areas that I think are really interesting from Kevin Warren. The first of which is the conference expansion. The second of which is the playoff expansion. Mm-hmm. So since you mentioned it, I'll do the conference expansion side first. We heard, you know, he had all of his wheel expand at the right time for the right reasons.
Sure.
And Dennis Dodd has the report right now that Cal, Oregon, Washington, and Stanford are four of the potential prospects for expansion. I would argue that those are four prospects for expansion, maybe for the ACC as well. And I think that as any conference is going about their, you know, if we are going to expand, let's evaluate these schools. So I do think that while his comments were very aggressive and brazen, and Dennis Dodd's report even said that they shook up a lot within the industry, and that a lot of industry, his industry sources were getting in touch with them and being like, I really wish he hadn't talked like that. He's only going to make things more unstable. He's only going to make people more nervous when he talks like this. I do think that everyone is evaluating the Pac-12, because it looks like the Pac-12 might be on the verge of collapsing, and you want to make sure you've already done your homework if that opportunity presents itself. As a matter of my own personal thoughts and analysis, I do not think the Big Ten is on the edge of, you know, dropping another four-team addition. I believe that the Big Ten is still in the same position that we had heard reported a few weeks ago, which is they're waiting on a call from South Bend before they make their next move. And in adding Stanford, you continue to build out Notre Dame's schedule within your own conference. What makes it easier to be able to get Notre Dame to join your conference than when you already have USC, Stanford, Michigan? I mean, all of these teams that Notre Dame either traditionally has or would like to play. The second piece on the college football playoff expansion, I thought was arguably more interesting, because he said, I support college football playoff expansion. And, you know, your initial thought is, oh, that's weird. You voted against college football playoff expansion, and you convinced the ACC and the Pac-12 to also vote against college football playoff expansion. But then he said, with multiple media rights partners.
Yes.
To which, in defense of Kevin Warren, what he voted against was not only college football playoff expansion, but specifically, he voted against a college football playoff expansion in which ESPN would own the entire college football playoff.
And Jim Phillips said at ACC kickoff that he was also for multiple partners for this, even though the league is wholly owned by ESPN. So, and look, there are a lot of reasons. I still believe that the driving force was essentially an up yours.
Fox doesn't want ESPN to own it for 12 years.
Right, yeah, but it was also an up yours to Greg Sankey and the SEC for expanding with Texas and Oklahoma a year ago, but that's fine. Like, I appreciate the vindictiveness and the pettiness of that these guys have, and it's obvious that none of them are to be trusted by anybody else. I want to talk about playoff expansion with you, Kevin Warren, and one of his ADs, because I want to get to that on the other side. I don't want to have to stop in the middle of it, because Gene Smith, the AD at Ohio State, said something that honestly I don't believe is true, but brings to mind an interesting conversation. Chip Patterson is going to still be here when we come back, and we're going to talk about playoff expansion next. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuyta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuyta. It's Wednesday. Talking college sports, college football specifically, Chip Patterson. As always on a Wednesday, my friend, CBSSports.com, Cover 3 podcast moderator. All right, to college football playoff expansion, Kevin Warren said he's for it. Jim Phillips said he's for it. Blah, blah. Everybody's for it because they all understand that's where it's going anyway, and there's money to be made. Gene Smith said something yesterday that made me raise my eyebrows for this reason. When he said that you can't ignore the persistent talk about a 16-team playoff. And maybe we have different definitions of persistent. But, I've heard a lot about 12. I've heard a lot about 8. it's not like I've never heard 16, but persistent is not the way I would term the conversations around a 16-team event. That just made me laugh, and we're going to mock it. But let's talk about expansion. You want to comment on Gene Smith's definition of persistence?
If he's sitting in a TV exec's office, it's probably
right.
You know, look, I truly believe that all the things that I learned over the last couple of days when it comes to college football playoff expansion is that Kevin Warren wants to make sure that multiple media rights partners, especially those that are heavily invested / share ownership in the Big Ten Network, are going to have a crack at, you know, hosting, broadcasting, being a part of the college football playoff.
And that's more money for everybody, by the way.
And now if we have to start divvying up the college football playoff, what is going to allow each of these media rights partners to get the most college football playoff possible? It's going to be more games.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I hear Gene Smith throw out the, you can't ignore the talk of 16, it sounds like a television executive is like, okay, so I hear you. But what if more?
Right.
But what if another game? And I'm sure that there's, you know, other ways to build it out where you say, well, now we get to involve the Outback Bowl, or, you know, now we get to actually do the on-campus stadiums and other little tweaks like that. I do not believe any of those details are finalized. I do not think that automatic qualifiers are finalized. In fact, I believe that automatic qualifiers are on the chopping block, or at least at the very minimum, going to be a negotiating tactic to try and get everybody on the same page.
Yep.
You throw out 16 so that then maybe you end up working your way back to 12. Seemed very much like in this very fluid process where, as we know, there are meetings coming up in the next 3 months where they're going to try to advance, you know, the discussion of what the college football playoff will be when it takes on its new form in 2026, that they want to have multiple media rights partners involved, and those media rights partners would like to have as much college football playoff as possible. So more games means more to be able to divvy up between the networks.
And I think NBC wants a part of that as well. So you might have three different, CBS might want back in. Would you be surprised if CBS ended up with part of the Big Ten package? I wouldn't.
I've been at this company far too long to try and slip up along those lines. I'm not going to
pick up that money. There's a lot of people that want part of college football.
If and I'm just thinking as an individual, as a citizen of the city of Raleigh,
right,
that if the Big Ten, which has had great success with Big Noon Saturday, wants to create some competition for the 3:30 Eastern time slot, there's real estate. If you wanted to own from 12 until 8 p.m. or whatever, there's some real estate that's going to be available very soon.
Look, you know where I've been, that the Big Ten is about to be the runner of the roost, the ruler of the roost, if you will. Look, I have this idea for a college football playoff idea, and it would have to be built out around it, but here's my idea. Like, first of all, if we're going to 16, we shouldn't even get 32. I mean, what? 40, 64. Think about this, Chip. A full season, 64 team, triple elimination tournament. Once you lose three times, you're out. Gone. You got to go find somebody else, you know, other teams to play. There'll be plenty of teams to play who have lost three times in a row. And it actually should cover the entire college football season. Thoughts?
I'm out. Don't like it. Don't like it one bit.
It's terrible, but...
No. There is nothing more hilarious than a team with quote-unquote nothing to play for ruining the season of a team with quote-unquote everything to play for. There is nothing that brings me more just sort of deep, chaotic laughter than a Saturday in early November watching that 3-5 team, or maybe even 2-7 later in the month, watching them go against a conference championship hopeful. I mean, maybe it's even in their house. And the other team, the favorite of 13.5 points, is totally thinking about next week. Mm-hmm. They're totally looking ahead to their rival, and they get kicked in the teeth and don't know how to respond. I want those chaos teams deep in the college football season. I understand that where your starting point is. I'm here to fight for those teams with more than three losses that I want to have them playing against the best teams, because I want to see those best teams have to be able to not only get up for the good games, but also have to stay laser focused all the way through the season.
Syracuse at home over Clemson is what you're saying. You're here for that.
Yes.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. That's what I want. The game. Look, how about this? Tony Elliott and Virginia right now have a win total at the Caesar Sportsbook of 7 wins. They have a great quarterback in Brennan Armstrong, good wide receivers. Tony Elliott, we think that they could be a pretty good team. They're expected to be a bowl team. They've got a game against Coastal Carolina in November. Hello! And now I think that Coastal Carolina is probably going to have less than 3 losses, but maybe they might have 3 losses at that point. I want to have those games later in the year where a team that is not competing for championships is playing against a team that is competing for championships. And it is going to be a test of how much these players, these coaches, these teams can stay focused on the matter at hand, because it's college football. We only get 12 regular season games a year. I'd like to be able to see who can maintain an elite level of play all the way through.
Look, the structure of the sport as it is right now is probably the best. But I'm here to do something silly and stupid. Triple elimination. Man, every game matters. You get into that second loser's bracket, and you're faced with, what, the next 3 months of nothing? Like, it's September 16th, man, and basketball season's here.
We also need to give the fans the hope of when the starter gets benched and season's gone. And
that's
right.
That's right. Got to
have the player development out there.
It's
come on.
I admit.
I need to see Kansas beat Texas and ruin Steve Sarkisian's chance of going to a bowl with a walk-off 2-point conversion that turns into an Applebee's commercial. It's incredible. We need bad teams in college football.
We do.
If we do the big grand breakaway, 10, 12 years down the line, I'll miss. Well, I guess there will be teams with big loss totals and comparatively bad teams, but I will miss that those quirks of the sport.
Well, it actually leads me into the last thing we were going to talk about, but I just look forward to a triple elimination 64 team bracket. What that looks like, it looks like cold fusion, I think. Now what we were talking about again?
Totally good teams. 12 regular season.
Here's where I wanted to go. If the Big Ten does successfully expand again, and the SEC does the same, and the whole thing is messy. If we end up in a situation where you've got these two leagues, half the ACC went one way, half the ACC went another way. We basically have all the properties playing in two different leagues. Isn't college sports perfect for a system of relegation? Seriously.
No.
Why not?
I don't think so.
Professional sports in the United States is not ripe for relegation. We can pretend all we want, including Major League Soccer, because these people have not paid hundreds of millions of dollars for a franchise with the potential of them being relegated to a lower division the way we do business here. But we don't have that in college sports. So if Mississippi State fails to stay in the upper division, they drop to a lower division, they have a chance to play their way up and then get big money. I actually think that college sports is ripe for that.
I don't see it happening. I mean, okay. I understand why you think it's ripe for that, but the business of college sports doesn't even really care about wins and losses and doesn't even care about rewarding success on the field or on the court or wherever it is. It's about what you can draw. It's about the amount of attractiveness and the amount of revenue that can be made off selling the advertisements, during halftime or during the game breaks of, you know, your particular game. It is the television money that is influencing so much of the business of college sports. There's also another side of this in terms of the great breakaway that I am only beginning to fail to understand, but it's like, how do you create this thing without being sued for collusion? And how do you create something that can get an antitrust exemption so you can't be sued for collusion as you start to put all this together?
Right.
And that's why I do think the Great Breakaway is several big major steps away, mm-hmm. and that the college athletics, as we know it, is not on the edge of cratering imminently or in the near future. It's because there's some very, very large, hard to move objects in the way between where we are now and the great breakaway into the college football playoff subdivision or whatever it's going to be. So for now, I hope Wake Forest takes down some big dogs.
Right.
I hope that Boston College is able to get out there. I'm a big Jeff Hafley fan. Like I want to embrace everything that we've got right now, but that's what I'm sort of having trouble to get to. And again, I'm only starting to realize how little I understand about at the very top levels, the individuals who are power brokers trying to make sure they can collude without being sued for collusion, and that they take the steps necessary, including an antitrust exemption, so that they will be allowed to collude. And all of that seems like an environment that will not reward relegation.
Yeah, what's funny to me about this whole thing, and you're right, by the way, but when you're Clemson, and Clemson is sitting here in the ACC. And if you have any wanderlust at all, Florida State is another good example. North Carolina would be a good example, or Virginia. And you're looking at the SEC and you're going, why the hell is Vanderbilt making all that money? They were just lucky to be there. They haven't done anything. Like, Northwestern, you could argue, has been pretty one of the better Big Ten football schools in a while, but I just can't unhear any of those things. Like, what has Vanderbilt done other than be like live in an adjacent neighborhood to all of that? At some point, I don't know.
I mean, you were in the right. How history of American business, right? What did you do to get where you were? I don't know. I was on the team.
Right.
I was on the right team that got promoted. Like, I don't know. I'm somebody's cousin. Oh, I don't know. Like, I was in the right place at the right time. I mean, look,
I'm having a Tommy Boy flashback here.
Look, I was in the right place at the right time to land at CBS Sports in 2010. Like, am I the Vanderbilt? I hope not. Hope I'm providing more value than Vanderbilt is. Back to my thought. It's like sometimes, like, what's Vanderbilt doing? What's Northwestern doing? It's like, well, they were just in the club.
That's right.
They didn't mess it up. You know who messed it up? Sewanee. Sewanee was in the SEC. Sewanee was a founding member of the SEC, but because they were outscored like what? I'm not kidding. There's a Wikipedia for this. Because they were outscored like 1,188-45 over an 8-year period with like 5 shutouts per year,
right.
Their own university president decided that we're going to get out of here and we're going to go play our sports elsewhere. But at one time, Sewanee was in the SEC. If they had continued to get shut out for, 75 years, then maybe they too could be making this Vanderbilt money.
Glad that person wasn't the chancellor at Duke during the 90s and early parts of the 2000s. Chip Patterson, you're the best. We'll see you next Wednesday, my friend.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
All right, Dennis. We have so much fun with Chip Patterson. All right, sir. Let's go to half.
Interesting fact, during my coaching days that I'm now retired from, I actually have coached against Sewanee at Sewanee.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh, man, is it a tough place to go in?
There's nothing around there.
Where is it in Georgia?
Just dead center of Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee. Ooh.
Yeah, just nothing there.
Sewanee?
Sewanee. Sewanee, the University of the South in Sewanee, Tennessee.
They're called the University of the South.
Yes, Sewanee, the University of the South.
That is a spectacular university.
Yes.
But academically speaking, of course.
It actually is.
So I'm sure that they are ripe for Big Ten expansion.
Yeah, it's like southern central parts of Tennessee near Chattanooga.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, presidential historian John Meacham is a graduate of the University of the South.
That's right. I think you're correct on that.
Thank you. Right. I know my presidential historians.
I'm sure you do. All right, so that was the first thing of Halftime Entertainment. No one hit the Mega Millions yesterday. So guess what? Jackpot? Now just over north of $1 billion.
More than $1 billion?
$1.02 billion right now.
You know how many people are going to play simply because it's $1 billion?
Everyone.
Because it's beneath me to play when it's only $840 million.
Yeah. So we're going to...
Billion? Now you're talking.
Yeah,
now
exactly. Now so you're going to play?
Oh, I have no idea.
Why not? Just do a quick pick. It's $2.
Yeah, that's fine. I have been sent out for lottery tickets before.
Yeah,
I have often thought, if you're sending me out for lottery tickets, I'm going to pocket that money, not buy the lottery tickets, because I'm not going to win, and I will now be ahead however much money has been handed to me to go get lottery tickets.
Okay.
But whatever. I'm not a lottery player. Never been.
I'll do it. I'm going to buy it.
I'm sure I'm going to be told to get some.
I'm going to go buy 5. So,
All right, good. I hope you win.
$10. I hope so, too.
I hope you win.
If you do, or if I do, first thing I'm doing with that money, disappearing.
Yeah, absolutely.
disappearing.
Oh, no. Like, if I win the lottery, is the next drawing Saturday?
Yeah, Friday or Saturday.
I don't even know. If I win the lottery, right, there will be nobody here Monday.
Yeah, it'd be me.
Whatever the next day is.
Yeah.
There'll be nobody here.
I'd be hosting that day.
Show would start. Where's Gold? Yeah. Sorry. We haven't heard from him.
You're going to have a new producer real fast.
Yeah, we have not heard from him. Just so you know, right? Let me ask you this. Would you go back to coaching?
No.
You wouldn't?
No.
Honestly? Here's what I would do. I would coach all of the youth teams.
Oh,
love it. It's easily the most fun thing to do. If you have a good group, I coached baseball for a long time. I had 1 year where I was the head coach of our soccer team. If you have good parents,
that's the key.
It's awesome. And I have been very fortunate to have the best parents. So I would do it. I would go. I would coach a soccer team again. I would coach a baseball team again, and that would be perfect because I wouldn't need anybody's money, and we would have the best equipment in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh! All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Kids NIL deals.
I'm now fan. Exactly. I would be the NIL.
You'd be the NIL guy. You'd be the collective. You would be the collective.
All right, sir.
Real quick, you know, Anish Shroff has taken over play-by-play duties on the radio side for the Carolina Panthers. Well, the Las Vegas Raiders have announced Jason Horowitz is going to be their new play-by-play guy, taking over Brett Musburger.
From Westwood One. He did a lot of he's taking over for Brent?
Yeah, Musburger is no longer – he announced that I guess he's going full-time with his –
his brother's VISN.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah. So, yeah, he's going full in on that, I believe. So, yeah, Brent Musburger, no longer the play-by-play guy of the Raiders, so it's going to be Jason Horowitz. I met Jason Horowitz and interviewed him back in March early April, during the Final Four. We had him on Culture State, and great dude.
Yeah.
Great guy, great broadcaster, really had him happy.
No question.
So, this little nugget actually comes from my girlfriend. She sent this to me this morning. So, I didn't know this, but... through the end of August, Krispy Kreme on Wednesdays.
Today.
Yeah, today. You can get a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts for the price of a gallon of gas. So it's based on the Monday national average of the week. So that's the price that you get them either in-store, drive-through, or picking up, you know, if you order online. But it has to be at an actual location. So you can get a dozen donuts today for about $4.33. Dozen glazed donuts. because that's the average price of a gallon of gas.
Okay.
Or has been nationally, national average.
What is the normal price of a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts? Probably I don't know. I've never purchased.
$13 or $14.
Get out of here. That's really?
Serious? Yeah. Seems it's like quite the deal.
No, I don't think that's a deal.
It's an absolute deal. $4.33 for a dozen glazed donuts from Krispy Kreme? That's a deal.
Gosh, I think that's way expensive. How? I wouldn't do it. No way I would buy a dozen.
Well, you hate Krispy Kreme.
Well, it wouldn't make a difference. I wouldn't buy a dozen donuts for a duck, maybe.
You buy a dozen duck donuts?
Maybe, yeah. Okay. Maybe a duck. Fries. Okay. Or maybe what is that donut place at the beach?
Oh, gosh. The one in Wilmington.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I forget the names.
Baker's Dozen's my go-to spot here.
Okay.
Yeah. Or you go to the donut shop that we mentioned yesterday in Cleveland.
I don't remember the name of it.
I can't remember off the top of my head of it now.
Frank's or somebody.
No, it wasn't Frank's.
Sam's Donuts.
It wasn't Sam's.
Okay, whatever.
It wasn't Sam's.
By the way, if you get gas at Costco right now for unleaded regular.
Ah.
$3.59.
Very nice.
Just saying.
By the way, it's Jack Frost Donuts in Cleveland.
Oh, okay, good. I was close.
Yes. According to Bloomberg, going to the world of gaming here for
okay.
you, because I know you're so into video games.
It's fine.
So this is according to Bloomberg. So Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic was a classic video game. It's an RPG role-playing game that very popular amongst fans. Well, the remake of the game has actually been delayed, and it's been delayed indefinitely. So Aspyr Media, the developer of the game, fired two of its directors and people that were in charge of the game. They fired them this month and told staff the project is on hold until further notice, until they figure out what comes next. Which is kind of a bummer, because I know a big thing now in the gaming world is taking retro games and either remaking or remastering them so people can play them on current consoles. So that's been a very popular thing. So, for example, PlayStation games that were available on PS1 or PS2, you make them now available on a PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5.
Right.
So making them compatible with those consoles. So it's kind of a bummer that I don't get to play this game any sooner. So it might not be a couple years before I get to play this game, Adam, and it upsets me.
Well, I'm here for you if you need a shoulder to cry on.
Okay. I mean, I'm looking forward to all the razzle-dazzle of that game.
You want to bring up Bill Murray again?
Well, I had to bring up Stripes. Yes, I had to bring up Stripes. One more time. But it's a classic movie. I just, the whole...
Brits thing. Donuts, Carolina Beach.
Brits
Thank
Donuts.
You, Dave.
There it is. Yes, thank you, Dave.
Brits. So real quick, earlier, do you have more for Halftime Entertainment?
Oh, I was just going to bring up just bring up how great Stripes was, actually, because we mentioned it earlier in the show.
Right.
I was going to say what have you been practicing? Army, sir.
Army training, sir. So at the beginning of the show,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, we were just going back and forth about something.
Uber, yeah.
And I said, if we were in Germany, you'd have to make my bed.
Oh.
And then I challenged you to tell me what movie that was from. Mm-hmm. Did you get a couple of people who got it right?
Okay.
RC on Twitter said, that Step Brothers reference, little too easy for me. Apparently not.
Yep.
Apparently not. It was entirely about Stripes.
Yep.
Step Brothers is okay. I get it.
No, Step Brothers is great.
It's okay.
Oh, Step Brothers is okay. Hysterical.
It's all right.
Don't disparage Step Brothers.
I'm not disparaging it.
You called it okay. That's disparaging it.
I think that's a pretty good grade from me when it comes to movies like that.
No. See,
pretty good grade
today's world,
me.
Adam, if you don't say it's great, you're therefore you think it's garbage.
I understand.
Therefore,
I understand.
You just said Step Brothers is garbage, and it's my sister's birthday, and that's her favorite movie.
Is it
How
really?
How dare you disrespect my sister?
Happy birthday, Dennis's sister.
It was my dad's birthday yesterday, too.
I didn't know that. Happy birthday to Dennis's dad.
Yeah.
Is your entire family born in the same month?
No, I was June.
When you were June. Pretty close.
Yeah.
I'll have to back time it and see what was going on at that time of the year.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. the Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Going to place our bets in a matter of moments. It is day one. Panthers training camp. Conditioning tests are over. And I believe we have breaking news, Dennis Cox. Consider the quarterback job over. The competition is over. Sam Darnold connects with Christian McCaffrey on a touchdown pass, and Baker Mayfield has left training camp, and he is already going back to Cleveland. I made up the last part of that. The first part of that was true. Sam Darnold did connect with Christian McCaffrey on a touchdown pass where I think the ball traveled in the air a yard. It was a little, it was kind of a delay, a little cross, and Darnold hit McCaffrey right by the goal line, and that was that. I mean, they were probably, it was, could have been a 2-point conversion for all we know. It was this that short a pass. But I thought, why not pretend that it's a big deal?
It is a big deal.
Nobody was wearing shoulder pads. Everybody is in shorts and as little clothing as possible. I assume it's 1,000 degrees in Spartanburg.
By the way, I told Chris Lee to give me a full update on Christian McCaffrey's triceps.
All right, so Chris Lee will join us at 2:15 today. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get a live update from Panthers training camp from Chris Lee, who is a sportscaster at WRAL-TV5 here in Raleigh. Spent some time in the triad as well, so those people out there will, hey, that's our, that used to be our guy.
Yeah.
Chris Lee. So, all right, let's place bets. We
place your bets.
Picked up a win
your
yesterday.
Bets. Here we are.
I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Yeah. Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
My futures bet of Sam Darnold starting week one at +200, looking better and better.
Yeah.
If he keeps connecting with Christian McCaffrey on those TD passes, you picked up what did you pick up yesterday? How much did you pick up?
I picked up +195 yesterday.
Excellent, excellent. I went 1 for 3, but the one was +310.
Okay.
Thank you, Barca and Juve, for a draw in a friendly, and it made up for the other two losses. All right, you go first.
Shohei Ohtani, home run, +390.
Oh, we're back. We're back on the Shohei Ohtani kick. I love it. I love Shohei Ohtani at plus money for anything.
Yeah.
He's the only guy you could probably go plus, you know, home run plus 7 strikeouts.
Yeah.
He's the only person who would qualify for that. By the way, wouldn't it be interesting if he got traded? Major League Baseball trading deadline is coming up. Mm-hmm. I think we're about to see the wildest trading deadline that we have ever seen.
It talks like Contreras being traded.
Oh, yeah, the Cubs.
Cubs,
Reds, Pirates.
Nationals.
There are teams that are going to move everything. And this year is the first year that we haven't had the two deadlines. There's always been a deadline in July.
Mm-hmm.
Where players don't need to clear waivers before you trade them. You can trade anybody who is otherwise doesn't have a no-trade clause. And then when you get after August 1st, there has been you can still make trades, and players can still be eligible for the postseason, but in order to trade somebody, they have to clear waivers. So make them available to every team in the league to just take them, but you have the right to bring them back if they get claimed. But if they clear waivers everywhere, so nobody bids on them, nobody takes them, then you are free to make a trade. So they have eliminated that part. Now we're just making trades. And I believe the deadline is the 2nd of August. All right, let me get to my selection. You, sir, have Germany-France today. Right.
Yes.
Who did you have again?
I have a draw at regulation time.
Regulation draw.
I think it goes into added extra time.
I am simply going to take Germany outright winner plus 145.
Okay.
Very basic Germany outright winner plus 145. I wish there was a prop. How many goals should France score? I'll take the over. Okay. But
hammer it.
How many goals will France score? I'd take the under. But I mean, Germany plus 145 to win.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and go next week. I'm looking ahead.
Okay,
NFL
wow.
Hall of Fame game preseason gets started
wow, Thursday.
A week from tomorrow. Give me the Jaguars on the money line, plus 110 to beat the Raiders.
Wow. Wow, you really couldn't find anything else.
I just felt like it. Just felt like it today.
You really couldn't find anything else. All right, a club-friendly Liverpool playing at Salzburg from, I think, is from the Austrian league. I'm not sure. Might be a German league. Maybe Bundesliga. Give me Luis Diaz to score at plus. Give me Diaz to score the first goal of the match at plus 550.
Okay.
First goal of the match, Luis Diaz. Hope he starts. If he doesn't start, then it doesn't really matter and there's no blood on this.
Okay.
It's a free shot.
I'm going to stick with football for my next one.
Okay. Well, I just did football. I did both of my first bets were football.
I'm talking football.
American football.
As in Canadian football. Give me the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Very nice.
Hamilton Tiger Cats minus 3. That's a plus 105.
Who are they playing?
The Montreal Alouettes.
Oh, man. I don't know. Montreal Alouettes. They have not been a great franchise, the Montreal Alouettes. All right. Mets-Yankees Subway Series. I got it wrong yesterday. I'm going to go the other way today. Matt Carpenter did not hit a home run yesterday. I will take Francisco Lindor to drive in at least two runs at plus 425. Francisco Lindor, at least two RBIs at plus 425. So that's where we are. That was a good baseball game last. Well, I shouldn't say good. It was a little sloppy last night, but it was a fun, tense baseball game in which the correct team won. Mets beat the Yankees. Very excited for game two of that series tonight.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.